So I'm going to kind of review, because I'm not sure how well everybody heard, but I'm not going to cover everything. I'm just some highlights from last week. You kind of wonder why the power would go out on a bright sunny day with no wind or weather. But since the voters of Colorado have voted in the marijuana industry, they take a lot of power in those grow houses. I played golf with a guy that was involved with commercial real estate, and he said there wasn't any warehouses around the whole metropolitan area because they'd all been rented or bought or sold to marijuana grow operations, and that takes a lot more power. Over in my neighborhood, they've boosted the substation by about double. Well, I guess they might have figured it was Sunday morning would be a good time to test it out, you know, new power on, and it blacked out a broad area around here. So there is a devil. He does fight, and but we're not going to get discouraged by that, because the Lord is in control. But last week we started out in Judges 6:34. We're doing our midnight stories, and we're doing a midnight story of Gideon. And Judges 6:34 tells us, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." Abiezer was his family. And one of the things that we find here is that Gideon was becoming famous in this verse. Back in Judges 6:15, Gideon says, "I am the least in my father's house." But now Gideon has become a little bit famous here. He was famous because he tore down the altar of Baal. And Abiezer, a family in the tribe of Manasseh, was now gathered unto Gideon. They all knew who he was. And guess what? It was the blast of Gideon's trumpet that drew them unto him. And last week, when we couldn't hear what was going on, we covered scriptures in Exodus 19, where we found the first mention of a trumpet in scripture. We then went to Numbers 10, where there's further instructions concerning trumpets. And in these two portions of scripture, we found the function of a trumpet or trumpets in the history of the children of Israel. And it had a threefold purpose, a trumpet did. One purpose was for calling to assembly. Another purpose was to blow an alarm for journeying or for war. When they were out in the wilderness, 3 million people, how do you get them to assemble and to line up for marching and moving on? Was a trumpet. And then the third purpose of a trumpet was it was used as a form of worship. We found also that there were three different Hebrew words that translate into trumpet. And the word shofar references the ram's horn, which is what Gideon blew, calling his family to assembly. Now, we think of the ram's horn as that curled horn of a ram, but Brother Tim Baker was telling me that he did some research on the shofar, and they do some things to it to straighten it out. And I actually seen this a little bit on the History Channel this week. Those long ram's horns straightened out that they blew, and they had to be, in order for them to work, everything had to be just perfect, and the hole that they blew through had to be just perfect, or you wouldn't get nothing out of it, maybe a snort or something. Well, that ain't what they were after. So, again, Judges 6:34. "But the Spirit of the Lord," that's the Holy Spirit, "came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." Now, I wanted to bring this down to us, and we did. The trumpets speak of telling the truth. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:21 that the truth is in Jesus. And then Paul, he also wrote a little bit about trumpets. We heard a little bit about this at the funeral service on Friday for our brother Ken. And he wrote about trumpets, Paul did, so that we would be listening for the trump of God. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and read this and just make a connection there. And the Apostle Paul oftentimes would write this statement, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren." Well, he wrote it here again in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." In other words, those who have died in Christ before us, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," and note this, "and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first," because they got about 6 feet further to go than we do. Okay. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of the saints to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." The trumpet of God will call us to assembly. He will call us to meet the Lord in the air. And are we, and are you, listening for this shout, for this voice of the archangel and this trump of God? And I don't care if you're deaf, you'll be able to hear it, okay? Let's go back to Judges 6:35 through the end of the chapter. 35 through 40, we're going to read this. And we're not going to camp here, but we're going to read it. And he sent messengers, this is Gideon, throughout all Manasseh, that's a tribe of Israel, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers also to Asher and to Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. No doubt that God had answered his prayer. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So let's go over this. We find that Gideon was becoming famous, well known in Israel, and he had collected quite an assembly when he blew that trumpet, and they were now looking to Gideon for leadership. Guys, you probably wonder why I called you all here. Give me a couple nights to go over this with the Lord, and I'll get back to you. That's about what happened, wasn't it? And Judges 7:3 tells us that the number that was gathered unto Gideon was 32,000. Now imagine that, if it was you. And all of a sudden, you find that there's a half of a Bronco Stadium over here full of people waiting for you to lead them somewhere and do something, you know, you'd feel pretty inadequate, wouldn't you? And it was an overwhelming number for Gideon, these 32,000 men. And he needed the full assurance of the Lord of what he was to do. And the Spirit of the Lord had come upon Gideon in verse 34 to empower him for this leadership role he had been given by the Lord. And again, Gideon was the least in his father's house. So we must note that Gideon at this present time with 32,000 guys out there must have been very uncomfortable in this leadership role he had been given by the Lord. Gideon didn't question that the Lord was able to deliver Israel, but Gideon questioned himself as really being God's instrument for this purpose. And that is the whole function of verses 35 through 40, to point out that Gideon questioned himself, not God. Gideon didn't doubt the word of the Lord either, but he needed further assurance that the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man, as the Lord had previously told him back in verses 12 and 16 of Judges 6. When Gideon says in verse 39, let me prove, it was a test to prove to himself that it was indeed the good pleasure of God's will for Gideon to save Israel by his hand. This is one more chance for him to get out of this thing if it wasn't the Lord's will, but it was the Lord's will. Now, again, Gideon didn't quite see himself in this leadership role that the Lord had given him. And think about it. The Lord prepares us as potential full overcomers of faith to face things and events in our lives he has foreordained on our race course. We don't direct our steps. It's the Lord that directs our steps. And we wouldn't choose some of the things that we've had to face. And Gideon didn't choose this either. We are to live by faith. And that is why the Apostle Paul wrote, the just shall live by faith. And he wrote it three times. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Overcoming faith doesn't come all at once. It doesn't? Overcoming faith doesn't come all at once. But how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's Romans 10:17. The Lord created the world we live in, and we mentioned this last week. And he knows what it is like, and he knows what obstacles there are, and what enemies we will face. But we are also to remember the words of 2 Chronicles 20:15, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We are also to follow the godly wisdom found in Proverbs 3:5 and 3:6. Proverbs 3:5 and 3:6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That word trust there is that Old Testament word equivalent of faith. So simply stated, we are to put our faith, our hope, our trust, our confidence in the one who has gone before and prepared the path that we are to follow by faith. Psalms 37:23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I have to smile a little bit here. That day that Sue fell and broke her ankle and we went to the hospital, and She says, did you bring your Bible? I says, no. She says, I need a scripture. Well, she had a grace and glory. She says, here, read me something. And on the front cover it said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I says, he ordered those steps, Sue. She says, oh, praise you, Jesus. She was thankful and hurting like crazy. Yeah. And she knew that the Lord had ordered her steps before I read that verse. She wouldn't have chose to fall down the stairs in the middle of the night. For about a split second there, it was kind of fun, she said. Being weightless and, you know, half awake. But when you crash down, things wasn't so fun. And she still struggles with that, but the Lord comes in for her. And she's still thankful that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So we see that there are steps ordered by the Lord, little steps of faith, one step at a time, that takes us to the place where we become full overcomers. Gideon was at that point in Judges 6, 35 through 40. Needed a couple little steps there, dry fleece, wet fleece, you know. And it is our responsibility to believe God and trust in the leading of the Holy Ghost to make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. That's written to us by Paul in Hebrews 13:21. Also, we kind of ended with this last week, but you might not have heard it. Psalms 103:14, it tells us, for he knoweth our frame. What is our frame? He remembereth that we are dust. Pretty important, aren't we, dust? In other words, we are fragile. And God knows just how fragile we are and how quick we can irritate the fragile ones. I'm good at it. And the Lord has to help me not to be so quick with my mouth to say things, because I can upset all of you in a heartbeat. And you want to talk to me, I will. And apart from the Lord helping me. We got to also remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8:31. The Lord, remember this, he wants us to succeed. He wants us to be full overcomers. He wants us to trust him and believe him. He wants us to do that. He's encouraging us all along the way. Sometimes we don't take it the way that we should. But the things that happen to us are for our encouragement, for our growth, for our ability to trust him. What did the Lord tell Joshua back in Joshua 1:9? In his words that he'd already heard, Joshua 1:9 says this. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's with you too, whithersoever you go. The Holy Ghost also inspired our Apostle Paul to write in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. These are the secrets of the mighty men of valor, the champions of faith. Now, we go back to Judges 6, 36 through 40, and we read in Hebrews 11, 32 about Gideon, one of our Old Testament worthies of faith. But it was just kind of in passing that Paul mentions Gideon. There he doesn't go into the depth that we've been going in here. And Judges 6:36 through 40 shows that Gideon wasn't quite there yet to that Old Testament full overcomer of faith that he would become. But he was walking with the Lord, and he made two giant steps of faith in these verses. Remember, and David mentioned this even this morning in the introduction, that two is the number of sufficient witness or sufficient testimony. And that is just what Gideon was requesting, that is, sufficient witness from the Lord that he was God's instrument for saving Israel. Gideon made two requests, a wet fleece and a dry fleece. We won't read those verses again, but Gideon answered, or God answered Gideon's two requests. No further questions asked. Simply, it was so. We read the words of Jesus in Luke 11:9. It says there, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Our apostle Paul also wrote in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing. Why do I have high blood pressure? Get anxious a lot, you know? And you're supposed to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, of course, Gideon didn't know these scriptures. You know why? Because they weren't written yet. But Gideon did make his request known unto God, and God answered Gideon's petitions. And so now, Gideon's faith was bolstered a little bit. He had the proof he needed to proceed in this leadership role he had been given by the Lord. Gideon also had the sufficient witness he requested that he would indeed save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, as the Lord had told him way back when he introduced himself in Judges 6:14. Now please note that Gideon hadn't yet saved Israel from the hand of the Midianites, but he now knew by faith that he would. But it hadn't happened yet. Now, we're going to go into chapter 7 here shortly, but before we get there, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've learned about Gideon so far in this midnight Bible story. Just a second. I guess we could say Gideon was a was a bit of a loner. It seems he had no close friends. Who were they, if there was any? We don't find any mention, do we? He comes from a poor family, and he said himself in Judges 6:15 that he was the least in his father's house. We note this from Gideon also from chapter 6. That Gideon wasn't afraid to work. And when we first met him back there in verse 11, he was threshing wheat by hand, and there was no one there helping him. Gideon was also a worshiper, we found in Judges 6. And in Judges 6, he'd made two altars for worshiping the Lord. And we found that Gideon also listened to the voice of the Lord, and he had followed the instructions of the Lord in tearing down the altar of Baal. This action had brought this loner Gideon some fame, but it was kind of in a negative sense of a fame. Because the men of the city wanted to kill Gideon for doing this, for tearing down Baal's altar. And Gideon didn't seek popularity or fame, yet the Lord chose this humble man to reveal himself unto, and to highlight Gideon as one of the Old Testament heroes of faith. The Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, introduced himself to Gideon with these words in Judges 6:12, which we've gone over quite a bit. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And he went on to tell Gideon in verse 16, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon's first assignment, if you will, by the Lord was telling tearing Baal's altar down and replacing it with an altar unto the Lord. And because of his actions, Gideon's father changed Gideon's name to Jerubbaal, which again means let Baal plead, or Baal will be contended with, or Baal will be taught. And then we read in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, that is the Holy Spirit, and he enabled Gideon to blow a trumpet with such volume that all of Abiezer was gathered after Gideon. That was his extended family. They listened to Gideon now. He didn't seek them to be following him, but the Lord put him there. And they listened to Gideon, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and the end result was 32,000 men were gathered unto this loner, Gideon. Now, Gideon certainly was out of his loner comfort zone at this point in time. So, as we went over this morning, Gideon asked God for two signs that he indeed was going to be used of God to save Israel, to smite the Midianites as one man. And God graciously answered Gideon's request, and that brings us to chapter 7. And as we get here, we're still not going to read any verses just yet, because I want us to reflect for a little bit and consider what it takes to be a full overcoming worthy of faith. This is why we're doing these lessons. Anyway, the Old Testament worthy of faith achieve such an eternal status not because of their good looks or their place in society or their physical abilities or their financial condition or their lot in life or their popularity. Gideon wasn't popular. Or their lack of popularity. But because they believed God, that's how they became overcomers of faith. They believed God, and they were have noted to have lived by faith. And here's a point that came up recently to me. Certain ones are not mentioned as Old Testament worthies of faith, but they were guys like Job. How about Ruth? How about Esther? How about? And the Apostle Paul addressed this in if Hebrews 11 were to contain all the names of the heroes of faith from the Old Testament times, Hebrews 11 would be as thick as a large book, you know, just names. And Paul noted this in Hebrews 11 by stating that the time would fail him to tell of the entire Old Testament heroes of faith. But they did all have one thing in common, and that is they live by faith, and they believe God, and they believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what do we have? A better thing offered to us. And we, especially in this assembly of this present church age, we are blessed to know that there will be a relatively small group of saints from this church age who will likewise be known as the New Testament worthies of faith. It won't be all the believers. It's just a smaller group. And this will be the group of saints who followed Paul as he followed Christ that will be in the bride of Christ. He's the one who tells us about this. He's the only one. And, of course, Paul did mention Gideon by name in Hebrews 11:32 as one whose life was left for us in Old Testament scripture to study how it was he became an Old Testament worthy of faith. And Judges 6, 7, and 8 tell this story. It is the midnight Bible story in Judges 7 that put Gideon in Hebrews 11. Judges 7, 1, let's read that one. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, H-A-R-O-D, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The well of Herod means the well of trembling, and it pictures the condition of the majority of those who answered the call of Gideon, who were fearful and afraid. They were a trembling bunch. In Judges 7, 2 and 7, 3 says this, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee, there's not enough of them. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said there are too many. There's too many. If it was me, if I was Gideon, I'd say there's not enough here yet. You know, you look out there in the valley, there's those Amalekites, the Midianites, the children of the east, they're like grasshoppers in number. 32,000? Come on, Lord. Where are these guys? But the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And that was their ticket out. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Wow. Why was it that Gideon had attracted 32,000 men in the first place? Well, it was because the children of Israel had been greatly impoverished by the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east for 7 years. And in Judges 6:6, at long last, that took them that long to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord heard their cry, and he sent them a prophet. And he, this prophet, unnamed, presented them a 7-point, spiritually complete indictment explaining why they were in this exceeding impoverished condition. And the prophet's last words were from the Lord, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That's in Judges 16. In other words, they didn't have ears to hear the word of the Lord. So the Lord made an appearance unto Gideon, and the Lord knows everything. He knows that Gideon would hear him, and Gideon heard the words of the Lord. And by the end of that day, Gideon followed the instructions of the Lord. In other words, Gideon had an ear to hear what the Lord said and a willingness to do what the Lord instructed him to do. Within the week, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon Gideon. He became the mouthpiece of the Lord, who called to assembly this 32,000 man ragtag group from the children of Israel. By the time of Judges 7:3, these 32,000 men would listen to Gideon so that he would proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. These 32,000 men were too many according to the word of the Lord. So those who were fearful and afraid were sent home. It was the word of the Lord that spoke to Gideon. It was the spirit of the Lord that enabled Gideon to pass on the Lord's instructions. By the end of verse 3, 2/3 of Gideon's army had left. But Gideon wasn't concerned, for the Lord had already told him in verse 2 that the people that are with thee are too many to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So, if you don't learn anything else here this morning, learn this. God isn't interested in numbers. One with God is a majority.